Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Back in on a Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, you can go to YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, like, subscribe, watch us, stream us, pause it, get back to it. I think Maloney was listening yesterday from like 6 to 7:30 and then went right back to it about 9 p.m.
Yeah, no doubt. He's like texting us stuff about the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, 12 hours later. I'm like, I don't remember any of this,
to be fair, he was texting about the 9 o'clock hour in the 9 o'clock hour.
Maybe he thought it was 9 a.m. yesterday. Who knows, you know, what he's got going on, playing bar and everything. So.
Mm-hmm. On a Monday night.
Yeah.
That's the service industry night.
Is it service industry night Monday night? Nobody wants to go out Monday night.
Oh, yeah. There's always like specials to lure you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, $10 to just tell me what you want.
How does the heat affect the restaurant industry right now? Like, are people going out or are they just like, I'm not even leaving the house at this point?
Well, you'll figure out if you're a good or bad server because they'll put you on the patio.
Oh, really? Oh, is that great. Is that how you get it? Uh-huh. You're like low on the totem pole. Who's asking for the patio seating, though, on days like today?
Bob, come on.
Seriously? Oh, yeah. People want to sit outside in this weather and dine outside and sweat in their own food.
And eat barbecue.
In the shade. Or pizza or whatever it is, right? And you're dripping sweat onto your own platter.
I mean, if you get out there like 11, I think you're okay. But yeah, there'd be, 2 o'clock, people go out there and have an Aperol spritz and a spinach salad with salmon on it and go on their day, man.
Oh, it's too hot to sit outside and do that.
It's
maybe
so
a
cold
breakfast.
In here.
I mean, yeah, but it's not cold. Go outside and you sweat. And like yesterday was just one of those days. Like the garage felt like a sauna yesterday. I'm like, should I even leave the car in here? Is it safe to leave the car in this garage? How hot it is.
Well, if you tell me you'll have somebody of the HOA.
Well, that's the thing. I woke up this morning. Apparently we had a sleepover last night. There were cars littered all over the neighborhood. I'm like, I can't wait for the neighbors to start complaining that there's too many kids hanging out at the house. Actually, I am welcoming that where the neighbor says, you got too many kids hanging out of the house, too many cars on the street. That's where I tell people to go get bent if that conversation ever takes place.
Well, and then there was like that video of like, what, the road buckling in Missouri yesterday where the car, did you see that?
Oh, no, I did not.
The road it eroded up because of the heat and the car was going like, hopped it.
Are you kidding? Like it happened right in front of a car or something like that?
Cape Girardeau.
Oh my God.
You ever been there?
Yeah, driving down to Memphis wherever I was going. I think New Orleans, we were driving down one time, you know, through there, so.
No, yeah, I'll just send it to you in a message. But yeah, I was in Cape Girardeau. This car's going by a Honda car dealership, just driving all of a sudden. Like, there's nothing you can do.
What are you going to do?
It literally ramps up right when it gets there, flies right over it.
Did you see those stories about the flooding in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago? And it was like there were flash flooding. And one of the stories was, and this is so sad, and I hate to bring everybody down on this, but it kind of reminded me of that. Guy sees the flash flood come and calls his wife and says, I love you, and that's that. And he got washed away in that flash flood. I mean, could you imagine seeing something like that coming after? Like, what do you do in those type of situations?
Call Mac and tell him to clear my search history.
Yeah.
You know the password from New Orleans? Bink. Clear it. Get it out of here.
Doesn't Binkley take care of that, though, when he comes in?
He sits in
he's
in
my
now.
Computer now.
He's been over here for a month.
Oh, yeah.
Or over
true.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of this month, as they wrap up June, the Royals have a pretty big couple of series. I say a couple. I believe it's 4 straight series as they will have against teams that are well over 500. It starts tonight at home against Tampa Bay, the team that leads every team in the wild card category. I believe they're 4.5 games above the Royals, who are 2.5 games out of the last wild card spot. But a big one tonight. This is where, you know, unfortunately you are tested throughout the season. This is one of many, right? You have the original one that is get through the first month of the season, stay relevant. Don't, you know, lose your season in the first month of the season. What do they say? You can't win it, but you can lose it in the first month of the season. So they have that. They have Tampa Bay, Tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. It's a day game Thursday, by the way.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. It's just what everybody wants. Yeah. A day game on Thursday.
So, yeah, they have the Rays for three, the Dodgers, and then they get on the road again. They go to Seattle, to Arizona, then come home against Pittsburgh. That's that series Vern was talking about where he's giving away chances to win tickets. Yeah, I don't know what the pitching matchup is, but hopefully Skeens will get a chance to come out here because you know you'll win that game because they don't win when he's on the
mound.
Well,
they don't really. Royals and Pirates together are the two lowest scoring teams in baseball. First 1-1 wins.
That's right. And so test number one is Tampa Bay tonight. So again, I'll go over that schedule for you. You have the Rays for three, the Dodgers for three, then you hit the road to Seattle and to Arizona on a West Coast trip, and then you come home against Pittsburgh and the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mets.
Too bad you can't play the Mets now.
Yes. But, love to play the Mets right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you guys want to see in this series versus Tampa Bay. I know that there's every series can change. Obviously, the pitching matchups, I believe they have Bubich, Waka, and Lorenzen in this series against the Rays, because tonight is Bubich for the Royals. But, you know, I just maybe see that offense on the road come home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that I want to see. And I know that everybody's been pining to see this team score runs. 500 at home, stand your ground, show some offensive run support for your pitching, which I know we've been screaming at all year to see. But we saw it in Texas, saw a little bit of it in San Diego, saw the power in Texas. Bring that sort of show to home, and you can have a chance against these teams that aren't competitive, the teams you do need to beat right now. The Dodgers, obviously, the NL West, not really a huge stand there, but you just want to stay competitive against a really good team. And like Vern said, got to go 4-2 in this homestand.
Well, you got to get back to 500 first. So you got to win these first two games against Tampa to get yourself back to even. And until you get back to even, it's hard to talk about anything else moving forward with this team. And now we're here. We are at the end of June, and we're wondering, you know, is this offense ever going to pick itself up? I mean, we have three solid months now, half a season. It's more than just a trend. It's pretty much what we are right now with this ball club. And I saw this number this morning, which I find to be very, very, very unbelievably unbelievable, is that the Royals are the only team in baseball without an extra base hit with the bases loaded. Every other team in baseball, you know, is getting extra base hits with the bases loaded. The Royals with the bases loaded have zero extra base hits on the season. And here we go onto the 24th day of June. They're the only team in baseball that doesn't have an extra base hit with the bases loaded this year. That is pathetic. They've got to find a way to get those hits, to get those knocks with runners on. And I keep going back to what Vern said yesterday, too, about Vinny. Great, he's hitting 300, 190 with runners on base or whatever it was, with runners in scoring position. Like, that's got to change. And we keep saying that, and we keep saying that, and we keep saying that, and we can see the 4th of July in our front view mirror. Like, it's right there. And by the 4th of July in this time of year, if you're not doing it, what's to say that you are going to do it?
And 10 so, days away.
Yeah, I know. We are. We're right there. And so, you know, we're asking a ball club to do something that it hasn't really been able to do for 3 months. Are they going to be able to do that? I don't know the answer to that question. But what we do need to see is them get back to 500. They need to win these first two games against Tampa to give yourself that opportunity to get back to 500. And then you can start talking about, you know, that playoff seeding and all that kind of stuff. But until they get back to 500, I mean, they're just, you know, they're just right now fighting to stay relevant.
I'm glad you mentioned Vinny Pasquantino, because this was Vern yesterday, what he had to say about Vinny.
Because again, Vinny Pasquantino, 92 at bats with a runner in scoring position. Nobody in baseball has more. He's hitting .196. I believe he's better than that, but again, 92 at bats with a runner in scoring position almost halfway through the season.
And then this is Vern on his June.
Vinny Pasquantino's been in the month of June, hitting .310 with more walks than strikeouts, looking like the classic, undeniable Vinny Pasquantino.
So now you've got to put both of those together and be that, you know, that slugger in that lineup, because if you can get him going, because Bobby's starting to look like he's going. And then I know that it's a lot of pressure for a young kid, but got to see that power come to life at Kauffman, because more often than not with Royals players, obviously you are judged more so what you do at home in front of the crowd than what you do at the road. It's fun to go see everybody else enjoy the power of Jack Caglione. But the moment that he hits one of those piss missiles into the fountains, and a big part of a game, say he comes up six, there's a man on base, or of course he leads off an inning and hits one of those bombs, then all of a sudden you start to see, okay, I've seen it, I believe it, because we know that Kauffman is a place where home runs go to die for the Royals.
Right.
And if he can go out there and shrink that ballpark, that gives you the hope that that's another leg of that offensive parlay that you want to see keep going. And the way that this team is going to get above 500 is Bobby stays Bobby. Vinny somehow figures it out with runners in scoring position. And we see that power of Jack Caglione come to life. And we see Salvador Perez be a little bit more consistent than he has been so far throughout the year. We saw a lot of that on the road. Now they come home against a playoff team. This is a playoff type of series.
No doubt.
Whether you want to believe it or not, this is a playoff type of series. Mm-hmm. This is Tampa Bay. This is Kansas City. Not right now the same team, but kind of the same sort of aspirations as a team. You don't have a ton of money. You don't spend a ton of money, but you got good homegrown talent, and you're showing that you can compete in this league, an American league that's pretty much wide open when it comes to the wild card. So you, like you said, you take care of business against Tampa Bay, take two out of three. That takes a lot of pressure off of when the Dodgers come to town and you're facing Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, all those great names.
Yeah, I mean, when the Dodgers roll into town, it's going to be the traveling Beatles sideshow. It's going to be like, you know, Josh traveling with the Chiefs and entering in through the hotel, you know, kitchens and things like that. That is a road show
right. That's
getting ready to roll into town here in the next couple of days. But Tampa's, you know, in front of you. And if you go out and take care of business against Tampa, then the Dodger series becomes even bigger. If you don't win these games against Tampa, well, then the Dodger series becomes more irrelevant than it needs to be. But I was watching MLB Network yesterday for a while yesterday, and it was one of those days where I just, like, I wanted a baseball game at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, right?
Tomorrow you get one that's dynamite.
Yeah, tomorrow's gonna be good. Yeah, it really is. Milwaukee versus Pittsburgh. You say that, you go Skeens versus Miz. I mean, like, that's a pitching matchup right there that everybody wants
average
to see.
Average pitch
right?
will be 98 miles per hour.
Yeah, and the game will be like over in average. An hour. Yeah. It's gonna be insane tomorrow. So that is on MLB Network tomorrow. So I'm watching it a little bit, and I think it was DeRosa. And he said, look, we got to start just batting Cags third in this lineup. He said Roman Anthony kind of took off when the Red Sox moved him up to number three in their lineup. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's something I wouldn't hate at all, is moving Jack Caglione up and giving him those kind of RBI situations and seeing what he can do. Because who's batting number three right now? Garcia's the guy that's batting number three right now, you know, for this organization. But why not just kind of take a page from the Red Sox playbook a little bit and maybe move Cags up to number three in that lineup and see what he can do? Because you know he's going to get up in the first inning, and odds are pretty damn good that there's going to be somebody on base, you know, because, you know, India gets on or Bobby gets on or somebody like that gets on. They do a nice job of obviously getting on base. Now you've got Cags hitting number three. Let's see what he can do. You're at that point in the season now where it's not going to hurt you to bat this guy number three and see if he can come through in those type of situations, because you really don't have a true number three hitter on this team right now.
The sidebar conversation of that is there's a lot of fans screaming from the top of the Kansas City Mountains they want to see Bobby hit third.
Yeah, I know, but I'd rather see Bobby hit first, quite honestly, because he is your best player, or second. I don't mind him in those spots. I don't think you want to move him down to third, because then where is his RBI opportunity coming from? Because you're counting on then, you know, two people ahead of him to get on base to give him that RBI opportunity. I'd rather have him hit second, knowing that there's a great opportunity he's going to get on base, and then have Cags come up behind him and see what he can do. That's something I would try. You know, I'm obviously not the manager of this ball club, but that's something I would look at doing, and kind of flipping the lineup a little bit like that, because you're not winning, you're not scoring right now. So what the hell? It's not like you're going to ruin something or anything like that. You got to find what works right now from an offensive standpoint. And I love DeRosa's suggestion of batting Cags third and just kind of seeing what happens in this situation.
Because I bring that up because you could have that same sort of conversation with Bobby hitting third. You could have Garcia lead off, because he seems to be, like, we've heard Garcia say he doesn't want to hit home runs. He wants to hit gappers and wants to hit line drives. If he leads off and then you put, I don't know who hits second, but maybe you keep Bobby there. But if you hit Bobby third, you do have that two hole. So then
maybe you just move India down to two at that point in time.
And you got to make sure his bat's still starting to go. So right. Yeah, there's offensive struggles for sure, but you want to see those struggles kind of go minute when it comes to this home series against Tampa, because it is a big playoff type of series starting tonight here at the K. Mac, let's get into a tough Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty, or a hot corner. Bob, I'll let you lead these things off.
Yeah, I'm gonna start this one, and I'm gonna say Q is on the hot corner. His tough Tuesday right now, because I saw the odds yesterday from Bovada. He's got the fourth best odds to be the next manager fired. Only three managers, the Nationals, the Blue Jays, and the Twins, have, you know, better odds to be fired. Q is fourth on that list, and I'm like, damn, what the hell has he done that people have him so high on that list? But I mean, we read the text line, you know, a little bit, and hear from fans on X and whatnot that, you know, are always unhappy with the manager. But the fourth best odds to be the next guy fired, that kind of took me by surprise. Only the Nationals, Blue Jays, and Twins, they feel like could be fired before Matt Quatrero when it comes to the odds. So tough Tuesday for Matty Q for no apparent reason, man.
Dr. Magenstein, who's your hot corner on this baseball-themed Tough Tuesday?
Well, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I'd say there's some reason. Our guy Q has not been perfect. We love him, but he's made some mistakes.
But I don't think it's fireable stuff, though.
Yeah, his name's not Thibodeau.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not fireable. Managers are going to make mistakes. Eventually, it comes down to the players having to go out there and execute. Like, I'm not a big fan of managing with the numbers. I'm a big fan of managing with the feel, and I think we need more of that.
For sure.
I don't like taking starters out of a game when they're cruising along, regardless of what, you know, nerdy man says up in the booth or whatever. You know, like, I don't care. That doesn't impact me. You got to do more managing with feel, and, you know, I think that's something that as you grow with the job, you start to learn that I got to manage with a little more feel. Now, I wish he would have learned that from, you know, his counterpart in Tampa pulling Blake Snell out of a World Series game. Like, that should have eliminated all the nerdy nerd man stuff that is out there, but it didn't. So manage more with feel, couple of starting pitching decisions. But other than that, I mean, what do you want him to do? Go up there and hit?
Matt Quatrero will join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. So, Mac, who is your hot corner on a tough Tuesday?
Hot corner for the NBA haters. Hating these playoffs, finals game 7, huge ratings, about 17 million people watched. If Tyrese Haliburton wouldn't gotten hurt, that game would have been close going into the fourth quarter. They would have done over 20 million, I think. So that's a good, you know, is a win for
the
NBA.
What was it, the most watched game of the NBA since 2006 or something like that?
2007, I guess it was, yeah.
Which is insane to me, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how many game 7s have there been?
Not since 2016. Like, yeah. That wasn't more watched than this.
Yeah.
Coming back 3-1, Golden State, LeBron, Steph Curry. I mean, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, people watch game 7. Now, overall, they were the lowest rated, you know, finals in 20 years or something like that, or whatever the number was. I think we just have to stop looking at television ratings, man. Like,
yeah.
They don't tell the real story anymore of what's going on. I mean, you look at numbers back in the day when we had three channels and, 40 million people watched the World Series this year. Yeah, 'cause there was nothing else to do. Like, there were no other options. Now, I sit down and I'm like, there's too many options. I just walk away because you don't know what you want to watch. You spend an hour trying to figure out what to watch. So, like, I understand why we go by the television ratings, and it's an easy, I think, low-hanging fruit number to take whatever narrative it is that you want and push that narrative. But the times, they are a-changing, Bob Dylan once said. And judging TV numbers anymore, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's got to be a better way to determine whether or not people are interested in stuff, right?
3 months after listening to Bob Dylan, my Tough Tuesday, don't look now.
Well, there goes number 32. Cal Raleigh annihilates another one. He has homered in 4 consecutive games for the first time in his big league career. An exclamation mark on a monster night for the Mariners.
So that's the Mariners broadcast there of Cal Raleigh going yard, a.k.a. the Big Dumper, because he's got a big old ass on him.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that's why he's called the Big Dumper. 32 home run. My Tough Tuesday goes to Aaron Judge. Hold the phone, MVP voters.
Yeah.
Now, again, he is still minus 2,000.
That's right.
As of June 24th on the odds on DraftKings, but Cal Raleigh now plus 550.
And minus 2,000 down from, what did you say?
1,100.
Or 11,000?
Or 11,000.
I mean, it's a big drop.
It is a big drop, obviously. He's not hitting 400 anymore.
No, in fact, he's on par to fall out of the leader in every single major category. Ooh. He's hitting 367. That rookie who leads all shortstops in voting, Jacob Wilson, in Sacramento or Vegas, wherever they broke ground but don't have any residency. He's second in batting average. Aaron Judge is first in hits. Jacob Wilson is second behind him, only 4 shy of that. Cal Raleigh has passed him in home runs. Raleigh obviously doing some record things at 32, Judge 28. And RBI, Cal Raleigh has passed him at 68 with 62 in Aaron Judge's stat category. So Aaron Judge was far and away running away with this MVP voting. Does he have to win the Triple Crown to win the MVP?
Well, I don't know the answer.
Because if that's the case, that's why he's my Tough Tuesday.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is he in that Mahomes category? Like, where Mahomes has to throw for 50 and 4,500 and, you know, go 14-3 or whatever in order to be considered the MVP. Is that where we're out there in Judge?
It's really too bad that the guys that are challenging Aaron Judge are one on the A's and B on a fringe playoff team in Seattle.
And one's a rookie.
And one's a rookie, but I mean, he's dominating. He really is. He's the best shortstop in baseball. It's not.
No.
He is. I mean, the numbers prove it right now. But, you know, he's playing like the best shortstop in baseball. Cal Raleigh's playing like the best catcher in baseball right now. But Aaron Judge is that grandfathered guy in, and you know, he's probably going to lead his team to the postseason. I would imagine the Yankees make the playoffs even with this June swoon. But it goes to show you, like, Aaron Judge doesn't show up, the Yankees don't win, right? And he hasn't shown up for the last couple of weeks, and they haven't played great baseball. So you're only as good as your star players are. But, you know, Cal Raleigh is the only other guy really in conversation of being the MVP right now in the American League. Wilson, potentially, but the A's aren't a very good team. So it's hard to give somebody an MVP when they're on, like, a bad team. So.
Yeah, he's also at a disadvantage a little bit because his stats were so, I don't want to say inflated, but they were so just astronomically high, jaw-dropping numbers. It's like Mahomes, 50 and 5,000. Next year, it's like, really, only 4,500? It's right. Like, dude, that's still really good.
Yeah, what's crazy is you see his stat line, you're like, yeah, Aaron Judge's batting average has dropped 37 points. Oh, what's he hitting? 367.
Oh, that's dumb.
Okay, I guess he was hitting 400 like 4 weeks ago. Well, right. That's baseball.
Yeah.
But he, you know, started off so hot that even when he cools down, which is kind of what you want to see with your team in general, start off hot. That way you can use
build up. You get all that, you know, goodwill built up.
But what Cal Raleigh's doing, man, like you talk about dog days of summer and something to keep an eye on. He is 7 home runs away from tying Barry Bonds' record at the break of 39.
Yeah,
seven.
Seven. Wow. Yeah.
17
Wasn't it
games.
9 yesterday?
It was 8.
It was an 8 yesterday.
He had 31. I mean, Seattle blasted Minnesota away. I mean, Julio Rodriguez hit a home run that went upper deck. First home run he'd hit in like a month. Cal Raleigh hits a 3-run shot or whatever that was. They blew Minnesota out, which is a yin and a yang because you need Minnesota to lose, but you also need Seattle to lose.
Yeah.
And you'll see Cal Raleigh here in a couple weeks as well. But, yeah, it's been interesting because now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now the MVP is getting a little tougher for Aaron Judge. Not saying that he doesn't win it or deserve it.
Yeah. But now watch him turn it around and go on a 3-week heater and get back to 400, you know.
When you feel the competition, you either run away from it or you hide from it.
Yeah, so. Well, Judge is normally hid from it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not just calling it what it is, right? Big moments. What's his big moment?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.